Hallelujah. Hellfire will misfire. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if any of you guys are catching a little bit of what's going on here. Hellfire will misfire. The word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Hellfire will misfire. If we're on God's side, nothing can touch us. Nothing, nobody. Because greater are those that are with us. Hallelujah. Greater, there are more with us than there are with them, than there are in the world. There are more with us. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to just serve you, to serve you, to obey you, to do what you would have us to do. Thank you, Lord. What I had scheduled to talk about tonight was about our feelings and about who we serve. And, you know, feelings, they're a part of us as human beings. You know, we have feelings, emotions, sadness, joy, anger, happiness, love. These are all feelings. And I wanted to talk about who we serve. Who do we serve? You know, people live by their feelings or emotions more than anything else, much of the time. And if you listen, you'll hear people or us or, you know, you, me, talk about how we feel a lot. We talk about it a lot. You know, I feel like this. I don't feel like this. I am this. But do we let our feelings control? Do I let my feelings control my behaviors? And that's kind of what I want to talk about. Who do we serve? And in Matthew chapter 6, I did not give them the scriptures, so I'm just going to, you can find them and read them along with me, or I will just read them and you can listen. But in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, it's talking about, it's teaching, Jesus teaching about money and possessions. He says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them. Where thieves break in and steal, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Then it goes on to talk about, you know, don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, enough clothes to wear. For isn't life more than your body and more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Then it talks a little bit more about worrying. And then in verse 31, it says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And, you know, we use that passage a lot about money, and I was reading it over, and that scripture where it says, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, we all know, or at least if you don't know, you know now, that this isn't talking about money itself. Money itself is not bad. It's just a tool, a resource. But it's the love of money. The word says that the love of money is the root of all evil. We can't serve God and have greed. Greed is a feeling, an emotion. And to me, as I was reading this, and, you know, it's not technically scriptural, but I was reading it and I was like, you know, I can't have two masters. I can't serve God and try to live by my emotions or what I feel. And then it keeps talking about worry, you know, worry, doubts, fear, greed, all these things, these are emotions, emotional state, feelings, and we can't let them control us. So what I am feeling is not always what I believe. Does that make sense? What I'm feeling at the moment is not always what I believe or what the word says. And I need to believe what the word says, not what my feelings are telling me, because they don't always connect. Sometimes, you know, the enemy is telling us lies. Oh, God doesn't love you. Oh, he's not going to give you what he promised. Oh, you know, you're no good. You're worthless. All these things, lies, lies, lies. And we can believe the lies of the enemy or what our flesh is telling us. Oh, I feel sick. I feel depressed. I feel this. Like all these things that our flesh wants to tell us. If we believe those things over the word, over what Jesus said, then we'll start living a lie instead of the truth. And I believe it was last service, you know, I shared that I am not moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I feel. I am only moved by what I believe. And to me, I've just been meditating on that this whole week. I'm not going to be moved by what I see or what I feel, but what I believe. Because what I feel and what I believe, sometimes they're not coping. They're not copacetic. Sometimes our feelings can steer us wrong. I mean, if I did everything I felt like doing, I would probably be dead. Like, you know, if I did everything in my life that I felt like doing at the time, my life would look a lot different. For sure. You know, sometimes there are thoughts that come into our head of things that we feel like doing. And if we acted on every impulse or every feeling that we had, imagine where your life would be. Imagine, you know, it's kind of a scary thought. But God knows better than our feelings. My feelings aren't always my believings. And what I feel isn't always what's right. So there's a danger in emotional living. For instance, Jonah. The story of Jonah, it says that, or the account of Jonah, that God woke him up and told him to go to Nineveh and to preach to these people. And what did he do? He ran. He didn't want to do it. Fear, anger, he didn't like them, whatever it would be. He went the opposite way. And what happened to him? You know, he got in this huge storm. They threw him off the boat. And then he got swallowed by a big fish. And if you can imagine, you know, smelling a fish on the outside, imagine smelling a fish on the inside. I'm sure that was a fun 3 days for him. Then getting puked out by a fish and then, you know, going back. And I mean, poor guy. He didn't want to do what God told him to do. He let his feelings get the better of him and he ended up suffering for it. Another good instance is, how many of you guys know or have heard of the term hangry? Where, where you get so hungry that you get angry. Or maybe you know somebody like that. Or maybe you yourself are like that. Where if you are hungry, you are not the same person that you are when you're not hungry. You know, get a little snippety when we get hungry. Get a little, you know, a little on edge when we get hungry. Well, Esau sold his whole birthright because he was hungry. I mean, talk about hangry. Like, that was like the ultimate. He was so hungry. He's, I'm going to starve. And Jacob, you know, he traded his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. Like, how amazing does that sound? Like, you know, at least it could have been like lobster or like prime rib or something. But I guess it was his favorite. And he, you know, sold everything for a bowl of soup. But our feelings can betray us. Sometimes we can feel something 100%, like, yes, I know, like Mitch and I, we do this all the time. Like, I think that I know something, and I'm like, I'm right. I bet you $1 million because I know I'm right. I know that I'm right. And then I turn out to be wrong, and then I'm like, yeah, I guess. I guess, you know, we end up eating our words later. But God is never wrong. Have you ever, think about it in your life, have you ever felt one thing so strongly and then looked back at it later and realized that you were completely wrong? And a good example for me in my life is when I was in high school, I fell in love. And I thought that I loved this guy and that I was going to marry him and that we were going to like have a family and all kinds of stuff. And if you would have told me otherwise, I would have said like, no, that's not how it's going to be. We're meant to be together, and I love him, and whatever. And obviously, things didn't turn out that way. Otherwise, I wouldn't be married to Mitch and with 3 kids. And I see him on Facebook now. I'm like, Lord Jesus, you knew what was happening. Because I see him now, I'm like, whoo, Like it wasn't a good situation. God knew more than I did and knew that that wasn't a good deal for me and that there was something better for me waiting. But at the time, did I know that? No. Did I understand that? No. And I was heartbroken that things didn't work out, but God knew. God knew more. God knew better for my life than my own feelings did. So if I had listened to my feelings, I'd be married to a different dude. I mean, God knows so much better than we do. What I want and what God wants may not always be the same thing. And it's so important that, you know, and that's what I wanted to talk about is who are we serving? Are we serving our feelings or are we serving what God wants? An awesome example is Jesus himself. I mean, you know, the night before that he was captured, when he was in the garden praying, and it says that he was just vexed to the point that he was sweating blood. I mean, talk about emotionally wrecked. It's not like he went skipping to the cross. Like, you know, he was happy to do God's will, but he knew that he was going to have to suffer. He knew he was going to have to go through pain. And he cried out to God. He said, Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me, but your will be done, not mine. He picked God's will over his own feelings, over his own emotions, and chose to obey and be obedient and look at the blessing that came because of it. He understood that what our flesh wants and what God wants may or may not always be the same thing. He had said, my soul is crushed to the point of death, which is crazy. Another awesome example is Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. You know, Abraham and Sarah had waited so long, and God had promised him that you'll be the father of many nations, and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and that his descendants would be as, you know, innumerable as the stars and the sand and the seashore, and all, you know, finally, he got Isaac. And then what did God do? He said, go, you know, sacrifice Isaac. After he had waited for so long, I am sure that he was not happy about it. I am sure that he fought every molecule in his being to do that, to take Isaac up to the mountain and to get the fire ready and to all of that, all the stuff that he was doing. I'm sure he didn't feel like sacrificing the son that he waited so long for, but he wanted to obey God more. And if you read it, the one thing, and as I was rereading it, I never caught it until now, but he knew that God was going to take care of him, even in the obedience. He told Isaac, he said, that we will go worship. We'll go up to the mountain and worship, and we will come back. So he knew that God was going to be faithful in his obedience to make that faith statement that we're going to go up here and we're going to come back. His feelings did not rule his decision-making. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says that we will walk by faith and not by sight. And then in Hebrews 10:38 says that, oh, let's go there. I don't want to misquote it. Hebrews 10:38 says, and my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. It says the righteous will live by faith. Our feelings and our faith, we have to connect our feelings to our faith, not our faith to our feelings. And we can't be led by our feelings. We have to be led by our faith. It doesn't say the righteous shall be led by how they feel at the moment. It says the righteous shall be led by faith. Galatians 3:14, I'm going to turn there as well. Sorry, my pages are thin. There we go. Excuse me. And it says in Galatians 3:14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through our feelings. It says through our faith, Jesus and Abraham unlocked his blessing through his obedience. Jesus unlocked our blessing and our promise through his obedience. Our obedience unleashes our destiny. As we obey him, it says that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through our faith, not by how we feel, but through our faith, what the word says. If Abraham or Jesus had said no to God, I mean, we would all be in trouble. We would all be in trouble, but their obedience gave us our promise that we can live on. We can't do something just because we feel like it either. You know, it goes both ways. We can do something because we feel like it, or not do it because we don't, or because we feel like it. For example, Sophia, like a year or two ago, when she was real little, had gotten a hold of a pen, and she drew on herself. She drew on the back of the couch. She drew on the wall. Like, she had just, like, gone down the hallway and was, like, on everything. And when I saw her, I'm like, Sophia, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? And she's, I don't know. I felt like it. I mean, kids do that. Well, I don't know. I just felt like it, I guess, you know, or whatever. And sometimes we do that. I've made some pretty dumb decisions just because I felt like doing something or didn't feel like doing something. And that's my flesh, my feelings, my emotions and desires. It's not always, and sometimes it is. I'm not saying that it never is, but sometimes it's not in line with what God wants. Sometimes what we need to do is different than what we want to do. Abraham needed to obey God to show that he trusted him. I'm sure he didn't want to go take Isaac up, but he needed to obey, and he did. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, "So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised." So as we do his will, as we obey him, it unlocks our promises. And as I was preparing this, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, "I don't care about your feelings, I care about your doings." And does God care about how we feel? Yes, he does. I'm not saying, you know, he doesn't care that you're sad about something or angry about something. But he wants us to obey him. He wants us to trust him and obey him. He cares more about our doings, what we do. You know, life is going to happen to us. Things are going to happen to us. Things are going to happen because of us, whatever. But what counts is what we do with it. What are we going to do with the feelings that come our way, the things that come our way? Sometimes what I want and what God wants are two different things. In Luke 6:28, it says to bless those that curse you and pray for those who hurt you. Now, if somebody is hurting you, they're not really on the top of my list of people that I'm, like, skipping to go pray for. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for them today because they really offended me, or they hurt my feelings, or they did this to me, or whatever. But Jesus said to bless those who curse you. That is hard. That is a hard pill to swallow. And that is something that I'm trying more to do, but it's hard. Lord, bless so-and-so financially. Well, God, if I'm going to be praying for those stupid people to make money, I want, you know, give me the money that you're going to bless them with. Or get whatever. It's hard. It's hard to want to pray for your enemies, to bless those that curse you. But he says to do it. To pray for those who hurt you. And you can insert other things in here. To pray for those who annoy you, who bug you, who get on your nerves, who rub you the wrong way, who whatever, who keep letting you down. He says to bless them. To pray for them. Do our feelings want to? No. Does our flesh want to? No. But that's what he said to do in Matthew 5. I want to read it. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 43 through 48 says, You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that. If you are kind to only your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. For you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if, you know, in my eyes, if God is so good. I mean, he is so good. He says it here that he gives rain and sun to the just and the unjust alike. I mean, imagine if only good people got sunshine. And you would just see, like, in the clouds, like, little pockets of little rays. And everybody else had, like, clouds and thunderstorms or whatever. But he doesn't do that. He gives everybody, whether, you know, they love him back or not, he gives them the warmth of the sunshine. He gives them the rain, and he provides for them, and he feeds them, even for people that are cursing him and taking his name in vain and doing all kinds of horrible stuff. He still gives them what he gave us. It's, you know, it's basically saying that we can't just go by off of our feelings on who we pick or don't pick to like or to, you know, to be friends with or to be friendly to or to smile at. Well, hi, oh, here they come. You know, like we have to give our sunshine and our light to the just and the unjust alike. Because if we don't shine our light on the unjust, how are they going to become just? That's good. If we don't shine our light on the unjust, how are they going to become just? They have to. We have to shine. We have to shine our light on the just and the unjust alike, whether we feel like it or whether we don't. Because we're not called to live just by what we see or by what we feel, but by what the Word says, by what the truth is, where our faith is. The Word says to love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say your best friend as yourself. It says your neighbor. It doesn't say you have to like that neighbor or if it's a good neighbor. You have to love them regardless. So sometimes what I feel like I need or what I want isn't the best thing for me. There's an audio series that is awesome. And if you have the opportunity to, I really encourage you to get it. It's called Good or God by John Bevere. And it talks about how sometimes something may seem good to us, but it's not God. And that just has been blowing my mind. Like in our human way of thinking, there's a lot of things that seem good, but it might not be what God wants for us. So we got to double check. A really good example, and I had shared this recently with a friend of mine, was, you know, I remember years back listening to the radio, and it was talking about kind of a similar thing, how God sees the big picture when we may not necessarily see it. And I've had situations like this being a parent where, you know, your kids may be doing something. And, you know, for instance, you could be playing in your yard, you know, playing with a ball or soccer ball or whatever. And, you know, somebody kicks the ball and it starts going to the street. And the kid is running after the ball and they're excited and they're going to go get it. And you, as a parent, you look and you see there's a car coming down the road. So what do? You yell or you run after the kid and you grab him and you stop them from running into the street. What does the kid do? They start kicking and screaming because they want to go after the ball, but they don't understand that there's a car coming that would hit them if they ran into the street. That's sometimes what God does with us. We're running after something that we think is good, that looks great, but we don't understand that there's a car coming. And when God moves us out of the way, we start kicking and screaming and throwing a fit. When later we're like, oh, shoot, God, thanks. I didn't understand then, but I do now. You saved my butt. He does. And I've had that so many times. I'm like, man, God, I didn't understand what was going on then. I was kind of upset about stuff, but now I understand, and I'm so thankful. I've been praying. I've been trying to pray like how Victoria Bowling, when last time she was here, she talked about how she's been asking God to show her things that she doesn't see. Show me what I don't see. Because we don't see. We're not as big as God. We don't have his grand vision for things. And sometimes we get a small part of the puzzle. And we don't understand that it's so much bigger than just what I'm feeling right now or what's going on with me right now. Lord, show me what I don't see. Help me to understand the bigger picture and not just what I'm feeling. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 4, this is Paul. Paul was, you know, writing this letter to the Corinthians, and he was talking about his relationship with the Corinthians. And then in verse 4, it says, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove that I'm right. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. Even Paul himself understood that sometimes our own mind and what we think is right in our mind isn't always the right thing. For example, you know, there are some people in prison that did some pretty horrible crimes that feel that they were justified in doing it. Well, he stole from me, So I stole back and I stabbed him, or whatever, you know, whatever. And in their mind, they are justified. But does that mean that it was the right thing to do? No. Sometimes what we feel we're justified in feeling isn't necessarily the right thing. And we're still on 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 12. It says, "You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though, quote, I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything." To me, it's like, well, I can feel this way because they did this to me. And if you knew, like, they hurt me real bad, so I'm allowed to feel this way. I'm allowed to have anger towards them. I don't have to forgive them because they, you know, molested me when I was a child, and I can't let go of that. Is that what Jesus said to do? Yes, we have these things that come our way, and even, you know, Jesus flipped a couple tables. You know, he got upset about some stuff, but at the end of the day, what did he do? He laid his life down for all of us, for everybody. Jesus knows how we feel, and he knows, but he also knows what I need. He knows what I'm feeling, but he knows what I need. And they may or may not be the same thing, but all that he wants us to do is to trust and obey him, to trust him and obey him, despite what we may see, despite what we may feel, just to love people, to trust him and obey him. And that unlocks our destiny. It unlocks our promises. It opens up the blessings. As we obey him, I mean, the word says that Abraham was counted as righteous because of his faith. And the word says that he was a friend of God. He obeyed God. He trusted God more than he trusted his own feelings. And I was reminded of the, you know, the hymn, Trust and Obey. When I was preparing this, and I just want to read the lyrics to you. It says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy within Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then the fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." Jeremiah 29:11 says that his plans for us are for good and not for evil, for a future and a hope. His plans are always, always, always for good. And as long as we trust him, and as long as we keep our eyes on him, we may not see or understand that there's a car coming, but if he moves us out of the way of something, we know that he is doing it for our good, because it is always for a good, for a future, and for a hope. So despite what we feel, despite what we see, we just got to trust and obey. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that there is no other way to be happy in you than to trust you and obey you. Regardless of what our heart tells us, regardless of what our mind tells us, regardless of what our body tells us, the only way to be happy and satisfied and fulfilled in you is to trust you and obey you. Lord, show us what we don't see. Show us, reveal to us aspects that we may not see. Show us angles that we don't see or don't understand, Lord. Help us to see the bigger picture. Help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to love those around us. Lord, 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 there's no other way to be happy in you than to trust and obey. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that there's no limit to what we can access in you. Lord, show us, reveal more of yourself to us. We just desire you. We desire to please you. We don't want to be like the servant with the talent who hid it in the ground because they were afraid. We don't want to be dictated by fear or by our feelings. We just want to trust and obey you. We love you, King Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, is there anybody here tonight that has a prayer need for anything? That's pretty much what God had given me. So, and we thank you that hellfire will misfire. And we thank you for victory and for good reports. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Anybody else need prayer for anything? Okay.
Good.
Hello. I have a quick testimony. So a lot of people don't know, well, I think a lot of people here do, but so I have not had steady work since the 26th of last month, and that was because of the teacher that I was long-term subbing for came back. The district hired too many subs, and so it was a bloodbath of getting to get jobs. And so I have not had steady work for a while. And so I started applying to jobs, and I'm very big on calendars. I have dates, it looks like 15 different dates on here that coincide with different things that has happened with this job hunt. But on the 29th I had of last month, I had applied for a job. On the 30th, I was given an interview for that job. On the 4th of April, I got the job. On the 5th of April, got a call and told me that I didn't get the job, that there was no hours available and no one knew why they were taking applications, but that they would take me on as on call. So, jump ahead to the 12th. I had training for this job. I went to training for the 12th, 13th, and 14th. During this training, I only interacted with the trainer and one other trainee. On the 15th, I was fired from this job because my personality was not a right fit for the individuals that they service. Now, this job that I had that I was training for was the exact same job, not the exact same job, but the exact same position, title, and everything that I did for a year and a half in Illinois. So, needless to say, on the 15th, I was extremely angry. I was really, really irritated, and I had called Sabrina, talking to her about it. And, you know, this goes in line with what Nina was saying, because I was angry. I was really pissed, you know. And Sabrina had just told me, she's like, well, that wasn't the job for you. That's it. That's all she said. She's a woman of very little words. If you know her, you know that's a fact. And, you know, I calmed down, you know, I got over it, and whatever. So now, fast forward to last week. I didn't write that part down. But I had an interview last week for a teaching job over the summer. And I got a call on Monday saying that I got the job for the summer. Now, had I still had this job, it was actually in Hereford, if I still had this job, needless to say, this job wasn't for me. You know, I wanted it because it was something I knew. It was something easy for me. But this job wasn't for me. Instead, I got an opportunity to do what I've actually been training to do, to teach. And so, you know, this is going in line with what Nina was saying. You know, it wasn't as bad as me getting hit by a car, okay? It was a financial car that I was going to get hit by. But, you know, I was kicking and screaming. I was angry. I was doing all that. But, you know, God had a better plan, and I am grateful for God's plan because it was I had this job before, and at this job, I had gotten stabbed with popsicle sticks and a lot of other things that I don't think you guys want to hear about, but got stabbed with popsicle sticks, so just to give you an idea of what kind of job that was. And yeah, so it's just going more in line with what Nina was saying, that I was kicking and screaming. There were tears. But it wasn't what was the plan. So, there it is. Yippee-ki-yay.